We've heard much in our readings about wisdom and about knowledge and about understanding. And I wonder this morning, do we know the difference between knowledge and wisdom? So here's the simplest explanation. Knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing that you don't put it in a fruit salad. Where does wisdom come from? Not knowledge, wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? All of our readings this morning and the Bible throughout its entirety make it very clear that wisdom comes from God. Our psalm that we heard right at the beginning speaks of God creating everything. Remember that? Up and down for you, side to side. And the reading from Proverbs shows that he did so through wisdom. You've got to bear with me on this one. There's a chain of logic. Hopefully it'll work out. We also know from John chapter 1, the one we have at Christmas every year, yeah, that one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Jesus is also the one through whom God created everything. So Jesus is also wisdom. Because wisdom was the thing that created everything, and so is Jesus. So Jesus and wisdom are interchangeable in that sense. We also read in Deuteronomy 34:9, I'm sure this is a verse you're very familiar with in Deuteronomy, that it says this, "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses." So mankind, humanity, also receives the spirit of wisdom. And all this takes us right back to where I started in Psalm 8. Because Psalm 8 tells us that we were created a little lower than the angels. Yet, we are given God's wisdom to rule the whole of creation. That's where I stand. About 4 feet further forward than I should be, I know. Both exciting and daunting. My friends, I don't know if you've noticed, but we don't necessarily rule very well, do we? We live in a broken, messed up world. We read of plane crashes, we read of wars, we read of corruption, and so much more. And we wonder, why? Why does all this happen? Why is there such a mess? What's going on? Why? Friends, if we go right back to the beginning, Genesis, we were made to rule in partnership with God the Father. That's why he created us. He created us, as we read in Psalm 8, to rule with him. But we tried to snatch authority for ourselves in the garden. We tried to get wisdom for ourselves. But the problem was that by eating from the wrong tree, we didn't get wisdom. We got death. And we got brokenness. And we got sin. And we got destruction. And all of the things that we see around us. We were made to rule together with God, and we tried to do it by ourselves. That's the bad news. Sorry, that's the bad news. There is good news. Jesus promised in the reading from John 16 that we heard that the Spirit would come. The Spirit would come. Remember the Spirit that created everything? Yeah, back to that. And guide us in all truth, says the passage. And wisdom. Guide us in all truth and wisdom. The Spirit, as we know, was given to all believers at Pentecost. We celebrated that a few weeks ago on Pentecost Sunday. Now, my friends, brothers and sisters, we have complete access to wisdom and truth from the Father through the Spirit that Jesus sent us. This is going to get very Trinitarian, so please keep up. There's a lot of Trinity in this. Anybody that preaches the Trinity and doesn't get it wrong somewhere doesn't try hard enough. So I'll try to stay on track. Our Heavenly Father gives us good gifts. Good gifts. Particularly, He gives us the Spirit. Why does He do that? Why does He give us the Spirit? So that we can know good and evil. Just like we tried to do in the garden by eating the wrong fruit. We can now know good and evil because God gives us His Spirit to enable us, to empower us to live for Him and to do the good that He has set out for us to do in advance. Notice that it's God's wisdom, godly wisdom, true wisdom, not wisdom that the earth gives, not wisdom that we get from reading Facebook or Twitter or whatever. We might get some knowledge, though I would question that on occasion as well. We certainly don't get wisdom from those sources. Wisdom comes from our loving Heavenly Father. The Spirit, He speaks to us the words of the Father. That's what it says in John. He speaks to us the words of the Father. Which begs two questions. First one, do we listen? Do we listen to what the Spirit is saying to us day by day, hour by hour? Are we attuned to Him? To what He's saying to us? And if we are, second question, do we follow His guidance? Do we do what He asks us to do? Do we live in accordance with His good and pleasing and perfect will? It's all very well the Spirit speaking the very words of God to us, but if we don't listen and we don't act, then we are no better off than we were, are we? So my friends, when we spend our time in prayer, when we're walking around the street, when we're doing whatever, listen for that still small voice of the Spirit. Allow Him to guide you and guard you in these challenging and difficult times. In the John passage, we do see the Trinity so very clearly. The Spirit glorifies the Son, since He receives from the Son all that the Son has come. He glorifies the Son, and the Son comes from the Father. So in this verse, this is one of those places where somebody says to you, oh, there's nothing, you can't find the Trinity in Scripture. Try John 16, okay, and talk them through it. The Trinity is definitely in Scripture. It doesn't say the words, the Trinity, but it's there. The Son comes from the Father. The Trinity is fully interdependent on each other and points to each other. The Spirit says, look at the Father, He's amazing. The Father says, look at my Son, what He did. And Jesus points to the Spirit and goes, look, receive the Spirit, and so on and so on. They point to each other and they glorify each other, as one theologian of the last century described, in a celestial dance. That sounds fun, doesn't it? We're invited into that perfect relationship. The relationship of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in perfect unison, in perfect relationship. We are invited into that relationship, which is almost unbelievable, isn't it? But we're invited into that relationship. Our reading from Romans speaks of the grace that we received to allow us to stand in the very presence of God. Those of you that know the letter, Paul's letter to the Romans, well, we'll know he's spent quite a lot of time up to this point explaining that we are all broken and sinners and don't deserve to have a place with God. But by His grace, by His mercy, by the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross, we can stand in the very presence of the Father. This grace is because we have been justified by faith, says the passage. Justified is one of those old-fashioned words that many of you will know well, but not one that's used a lot these days. And justified is a funny word to explain. But the easiest one I know is it's just as if I'd, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. When God looks at us, because we've accepted Jesus as our Saviour, he doesn't see us, he doesn't see our mess, he doesn't see our corrupt natures. He sees his Son. We are clothed with him, with his goodness, with his righteousness, and God sees us. And that grace enables us to stand in the very presence of God the Father. So as a result, we can now boast, the passage says, boast in our relationship with Jesus by faith. We don't have a relationship in any other way with Jesus. It is all about faith. Our faith in him, his grace poured out to us. But it also means, if you listen to the passage carefully and you read it again later perhaps, that we are also called to boast in something else. Did you notice? We're called to boast in our sufferings. That one usually goes down really well. Boast in our sufferings. Particularly, I might add, in suffering for our faith. Where people maybe call you strange names or don't talk to you anymore because you go to church and you're a Christian and you have different views on many topics to them. You might suffer. In other parts of the world, people get stoned and imprisoned and shot for naming the name of Jesus. We have it quite mild in this country. But why do we suffer? Apart from the fact that it's a broken world. The passage tells us that we suffer, this is what it said, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, again, who has been given to us. Perseverance leading to character, leading to hope. Perseverance, many of us will know what that means really well. Perseverance is something that perhaps is less encouraged these days than it once was. Perseverance in relationships, perseverance in work, perseverance in many, many things. Keeping going, keeping faithful, doing the right thing, the same thing, even when and especially when it's hard. Perseverance. And as we persevere, that develops our character. We become more Christ-like as we persevere. Our character changes as the fruit of the Spirit grows within us because we are focusing on him. We're persevering in the faith for him. Our character changes and we become more like him. And as a result, our hope grows. Hope in the biblical sense, in the way that the Bible writers use it, is not the hope of the world. That's such a vague hope. Oh, I hope it's sunny tomorrow. I hope I win the lottery. Those sorts of things. That's not biblical hope. Our hope is in something that is absolutely certain. It is a hope that Jesus was crucified. A hope that, and knowledge that Jesus was raised from the dead. A certainty that as a result we can know forgiveness of sins and be restored and have eternal life. That is the hope that we have. Not an earthly hope, a worldly hope. My first colonel, bless him, lovely bloke, but he always said, hope is not an act of war. Meaning, when somebody said, oh, I hope this is in line, sir, his reply would be, hope is not an act of war. Meaning, tell me it's in line. Our hope is not that sort of hope. Our hope is certain. So when we say our hope is in Jesus, we can equally say our certainty is in Jesus. Nearly finished. Honest. So this Father's Day, let us celebrate the love of the Father, the wisdom of our Heavenly Father, the one who seeks to grow us, to know us, to be there for us. He offers us a place in his kingdom. He offers us wisdom and guidance. Will we accept it? Will we take it? To him be the glory. Amen.